On today's episode, we discuss how to buff your allies and control the battlefield in our class spotlight of the Scholar. Hello and welcome to Dungeon Jedi Masters, a podcast discussing everything Star Wars 5e. My name is Todd, I've got Tegan here, and we're looking forward to jumping into hyperspace with you. Let's go! Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dungeon Jedi Masters podcast, episode 17. Hello, Tegan. How are you doing today?
Yeah, doing pretty well. Started watching a rewatch of the trilogy, original trilogy, this morning. So getting some good Star Wars in.
Always a classic. I'm sure you're probably watching Disney Plus or something, but usually you can find that on TV every once in a while. So it's always nice to just get sunk into that.
Yeah, it feels like TNT plays it like every other weekend, but I'm doing the Disney Plus today.
Yeah, for sure. Nice to have that. Have you watched any of the gallery on The Mandalorian?
I haven't yet. I've heard it's good. I haven't gone through and watched those yet.
Yeah, I've done two episodes so far. I believe the fifth one just dropped. But very cool. Each episode's a little bit different aspect of the show and things. The ending of episode 2, Dave Filoni has a spiel about just Star Wars in general, and it'll blow your damn mind off. I mean, it just makes you think about something and the genius behind George Lucas and what everything means. It's so cool. So you and everyone else out there, if you haven't, make sure you check that out and watch for that part, end of episode 2. Very cool. So a few announcements here before we get into our episode. First off, a couple more new Patreons. So we want to obviously give a shout out to them. We have Trev and Trayvon. Huge thank you to you guys. I believe we're up to 20 Patreons overall. A thank you again to all of you guys there. That's so awesome. Appreciate you supporting us and helping us bring this content to all of our viewers out there. All of our Patreons, of course, get some special rewards and content for that support. And we do have, as of this episode, our new NPC drop. So Tegan, if you want to give us a quick little preview of that.
Definitely. So this month we're taking a little different direction. So we're going with Besk Araskra. I may have butchered that name, but he's going to be a Bothan politician. So he's going to be a part of our adventure, which is going to drop in July. So keep an eye out for that. He's going to be built. This episode in general is going to be based around scholars. So we built him off while using the politician pursuit. So he's got a lot of cool features. He's going to be pretty devious. There's going to be some fun things going along with him. So keep an eye out if you're a Patreon. Make sure to download him. He'll be a great addition to your campaigns. And then keep an eye out for that adventure because it'll definitely be a fun one, a little bit more of a intrigue and mystery style one that can really kind of change up the pace of your campaign.
Yeah, looking forward to further developing that adventure with this character. As you said, it'd be a little different, not your traditional enemy or whatnot. So looking forward to that. Beyond Patreon, other content that we have put out, there's been a few requests for the Tempest Feud campaign that I am running to be in audio podcast format. So we have started to add that. First episode went out this past Friday, and each Friday going forward until we catch up to the campaign will go out on our podcast. So if you want to listen to that in your car or whatever else, the audio format will be available. And of course, the videos of the session are always on YouTube as well. So keep an eye out for that. Of course, all of our Dungeon Jedi Master content available, dungeonjedimasters.com. Links to this podcast, our YouTube channel, our Twitch channels, our Twitter account, and of course, that Patreon if you would like to support us. Tegan, I'll throw it over to you now for we do have one new piece of content for the Star Wars 5e system.
This one is one of my favorites. I think I mentioned before on the podcast during our Sentinel episode that I love the Sentinel is my favorite class for SW5E. This one's a fun archetype. It's the Path of Witchcraft. This is basically going to allow you to kind of get the Build-A-Bear class with the Sentinel. So you're allowed to pick a pet and you're able to build them out, give them the features that you'd like. And then you'd have that pet along with you and supporting you in combat and as you adventure around the galaxy. This one, it's a ton of fun, and Sentinel just kind of flows well with it. There's a lot that you can do and really kind of customize out your beast and just really have it fit your character. It's kind of inspired a little bit by the Witches of Dathomir, but that doesn't mean you're locked into that. You can kind of go off your own thing. I know the Path of Witchcraft can kind of throw some people off, but it's pretty much just allowing you to pick your own pet and really imbue them with the characteristics that you want to. And there's a lot of cool synergy between this and Sentinel. I've been just kind of mocking up my own little build for this. If you guys do take it, one feat I'd recommend doing, check out Mounted Caster. What that's going to allow you to do is use your force powers. Anything that affects yourself will affect your mount. Take that. Anything you buff yourself up will buff your mount as well. Make sure you make your mount at least large so you can ride them, and then get that mounted combat feature. And there's a ton you can do with that. You can make something pretty powerful. So this is a fun one. Next one shot, next time I get a chance, I'm probably going to play it myself and just kind of see how it works. But just from taking a look at it, there's so much fun you can have with this class.
Yeah, looks like a great one for sure. Does it still have, I remember seeing in some of the development stages, some manipulation of nature and the elements. Are those aspects still in there?
Oh, definitely. So those are still in there. So you get a feature at level 7 called Nature's Vigor, which allows you to ignore difficult terrain. You can even actually use or command plants within a 30-feet range of you to create difficult terrain or even do other tasks, but those are going to be at your GM's discretion. And the cool thing with that feature is it's no action required. So you can only use it once per short or long rest, but that can be, if you're in more of a kind of a natural terrain, there's a lot you can do with that, and really, especially if your GM allows you to get some shenanigans, you can do some pretty cool stuff with that.
Yeah, that obviously the having the companion aspect is super cool, but just going that one step further and controlling the elements and nature and things is very cool. So yeah, a good one for sure. All right, I think that's all of our announcements. We'll get into today's episode. As we said, I think Tegan touched on it briefly, mentioning our next Patreon NPC that comes out today. We're going to be talking about the Scholar in today's episode. Very cool class. If you have not looked at this yet, you need to do so. It is unique to Star Wars 5e. I believe Gally mentioned it when he was on our podcast a while ago that I think it was a homebrew that somebody else had put together, and they gave Gally the blessing to convert it over to Star Wars. But yeah, it's a unique class, and this thing is just, it's awesome. It does some very cool things. So we're going to go through and do a spotlight on this class and tell you what it is. It's basically a class that's a party buff. It's going to support your party. It's going to debuff allies. Just a lot of different things it can do. It's a intelligence-based class for sure, so keep that in mind when you're picking your species and other aspects like that. But yeah, so let's get into some of this, Tegan. So start us from the top, I guess. We'll go through some of the basics, the features, the proficiencies that it might come with, and start going through each feature by level.
Definitely. So Scholar, it's one of the best support classes I've seen. There's just a lot you can do with it. So you kind of start off, so it's a 1d8, which is nice, because for being a support class, you didn't get stuck with the 1d6. So you just get to that base level for the hit die. So you have a decent amount of health with it. The proficiencies, you're not going to get too much in the way of weapons and armor. You start off with light armor, so at least you get some armor. Simple blasters, simple vibro weapons. You also get the tech blades, too, which can give you a little bit of up-close, more lethality there. Tools, you get to pick any tool you'd like. Just one tool, but any of them from any list, you're able to pick those out and kind of start proficiency with that. Your saving throws for this class are going to be wisdom and intelligence. Kind of fits with the build. And then skills, and that's going to be kind of the core piece of this class, or one of the core pieces, I should say, of this class, is you're going to have a lot of different skills, and this is one kind of similar to Bard and Operative for regular, or Bard and Rogue for the regular 5e. You're going to get a lot of expertise with this one, too, so definitely kind of strategically pick out your skills and really just make sure they kind of mesh together. You get to choose initially from Deception, Insight, Intimidation, Investigation, Lore. There's a couple other ones on there too. Just some really cool ones you can build in and just really make sure you're getting kind of the best benefit for your build. And then to start off with, you're going to choose between a simple Vibra weapon or blaster, the Scholar's Pack or Explorer Pack, then a combat suit, and then they give you one tool of your choice too, which would you want to sync up with the one you're proficient in. So it kind of gives you kind of that base level to start with and some cool features there. But the biggest thing is when you actually get to start the class is when you get into your maneuvers as well as the critical analysis. So at level one, you get academic superiority, which is basically the scholar's maneuvers. Their maneuvers are a little bit different than what you've probably seen with fighters and some other classes. A lot of theirs are based off through the reaction in particular, as well as just kind of buffing or debuffing enemies and allies. So there's a lot you can do to enhance your party's efficiency. There's a lot of reactions. We'll go into why Scholar has so many reactions, but there's so many things you can do to kind of tip the scales with your reactions with these academic superiorities and just really kind of help your party get out of things that they may not have survived otherwise. So cool features there. We're not going to go through all of the different maneuvers, but definitely take a look at them. My big tip with this one would be make sure you can kind of get the best reaction ones you can, because there's a lot you can do with the reactions in this class, and it just really helps out your party.
From an experience standpoint of playing with somebody who's a scholar in the game that you run, Tegan, you know that, yeah, the reactions are insane. There's been so many times where other players have made a ability save or a, you know, an attack roll or something, and you just miss on the numbers, and then the scholar says, "Oh, hang on," and boom, uses their reaction, gets you what you need on those dice, and then you go through. So, yeah, that's a key aspect for sure.
Definitely, it's a game changer there, especially with the saving throws. I mean, it's got them off some pretty tight situations where some high damage may have gone through.
Absolutely.
So definitely a cool one there, and just really check out the reactions. That's my biggest piece of advice for the maneuvers with this build. And no matter what archetype you pick, those are going to be kind of your game changers. The other core piece of this class is the critical analysis. So this is kind of a cool feature that you get with the class. Basically, what it's going to allow you to do is you can either scan or analyze one hostile or one friendly creature, and they get different benefits or debuffs depending on what you choose. So if you analyze a hostile creature, your attack rolls and damage rolls made with weapons with the finesse property or blaster weapons, they'll be able to use your intelligence modifier versus strength or dexterity. That's core for this class because you're going to have a high intelligence just based off kind of your core stats. So this is going to allow you to use that best stat versus having to worry about putting too much into dex or too much into strength that may take away from building your intelligence. So great feature there. And this is just a nice thing is you can use critical analysis just using a bonus action. And there's a couple of maneuvers there. I forgot the name of it, but check out the one that allows you to burn a reaction on initiative, because it'll allow you to critical analyze whichever target you want to right as initiative is rolled. My scholar uses it all the time, and that way you don't have to worry about using your bonus action in case you'd have something else you'd want to use that bonus action for on your turn. And then if you're analyzing a friendly creature, basically what that'll allow them to do is this will be the target. So remember that you wouldn't be able to end this, but the target would be able to end this critical analysis on them. No action required. And what that's going to allow them to do is add your intelligence modifier. So that'll be yours, a scholar's intelligence modifier, to one of their attack rolls, ability checks, or saving throws. So this can be a big thing. So like if they just missed out on an attack or missed out on a saving throw, you're probably going to have at least a +4 in intelligence. They can add that +4 to 5 to whatever they're doing and hopefully allow them to succeed on it. Now, if they do this, they can't do so again until a short or long rest. But you can kind of use it on those the different characters in your party, and especially if you play certain archetypes, you can have a pretty wide field on who you have critical analysis and are able to use that for them and really kind of help change the flow of the battle.
Yeah, definitely a huge and key feature of this class. It comes out, obviously, in the archetypes that we'll touch on later. But this is, it's probably the bread and butter of this class, is that critical analysis feature, and you know, a lot that you can do with it. So, all right, let's go. Keep going, Tegan. What else we got here? Kind of round out the rest of the main features of this class here. Still some good stuff to come, for sure.
Definitely. So one of the other big things you get to is the discovery feature a little bit later for this class. So level 2, I believe. And basically what that's going to allow you to do is pick different discoveries. You start off with 2, and they're able, just different kind of enhancements to the class. So there's one that allows you to learn additional languages. There's one that allows you to remember anything that you've read in the past month without any difficulty. Couple of my favorites for the discoveries are the quick analysis, and that one is going to allow you to, this is the one I mentioned earlier. This is, so when you roll initiative and aren't surprised, you can use your reaction to use that critical analysis feature. Great, saves your bonus action. There's a lot of use you can get out of that just right off the bat, and allow your party to get some use out of it too, depending on your archetype. Master's advice and lingering advice are also good choices too, and we'll kind of touch on those a little bit as we go into the sage advice, which is the next big feature. So what the sage advice does, and this is can be pretty game changing, is you're able to provide a number of creatures equal to your intelligence modifier, proficiency, and a skill or tool that you're proficient at. So my party actually just used this last week. They were trying to sneak through enemy territory, and a couple of them weren't proficient in stealth. The scholar was, so he took some time, gave him some good advice on how to sneak, and they were able to add their proficiency to that role. So it just allows you to get some flexibility, and because I know a lot of times all the party may not be proficient in something, or even just if you needed some help with something. So if you were trying to slice into a computer, you're proficient in Slicer's Kit, but nobody else is, you can use that sage advice, give another party of your member proficiency with that, and they can help you now, and you can have advantage on the roll. So just some cool stuff you can do like that, and just really kind of allow the party to do things they wouldn't otherwise be able to do. Now, one thing is it takes a minute to do so. And once you've used the feature, you can't do it again until you take a short or long rest. Nice thing with most of the scholar stuff is a long or a short rest will give you back everything you need.
Another great feature, something that comes in super handy as your party comes up to an obstacle or something. So awesome. What else we got?
Definitely. So at third level, you get your first expertise. So scholars, definitely kind of a skill monkey class. So you want to make sure you can really buff out the skills you want to have. So this is going to allow you to just really kind of round out the what you want to get and what you want a party to, or what your character to be able to do. You get these at level 3 and you get another one at level 10. So you're going to have a lot of options to really make sure you have what you need for the character. One thing I recommend is not on their skill list, but if your party is going to be doing any piloting or ship or Starships of the Galaxy stuff, for my campaign, the scholar's the pilot, and he's got expertise on that, and it just really gives you a crazy AC. So take a look at that for a scholar. It can definitely be a good one to pick up. After that, it slows down a little bit on some of the newer features, but you get your kind of your big one at level 5. So you get the multitasker feat. So this is a little bit interesting. So Scholar doesn't get extra attack. Multitasker kind of replaces that for them. And what this is going to allow you to do is take a second reaction each round. So you'd have 2 reactions per round. One thing, and this is something I've seen trips people up a little bit, is you can only take 1 reaction per turn. So in the turn, just to kind of clarify again, so the round is kind of the overall round of combat where everybody goes through and takes their turns. The turn is just that individual character's turn. So if you had one of the enemies walk past you and you wanted to do a opportunity attack, you would be able to do that 1 per that enemy's turn. And then let's say another enemy throws an explosion at one of your parties and you want to use your reaction to help buff an ally to succeed on that, you could do so. Just as long as they're separate enemies taking their turns, you have those 2 reactions to spend however you want to. And there's just a lot you can do with that, and just really make sure your party's able to succeed and really having some cool benefits with it. After that, it kind of slows down a lot. So the other big thing, so at level 13, you're going to get Sage Advice back on a short rest. So just allows you to get that a little bit more buffed, a little bit more frequent use out of it. You also get further down the line the Calm and Collected ability. And basically, you'll get that at level 14. And what this is going to do is when you make a saving throw from an effect you can see, so you have to be aware of it and be able to see it, you can gain a bonus equal to your intelligence modifier to the saving throw. So once you use it, you have to wait to a short rest, but that can definitely help you out with some of your lower stats, maybe like strength or constitution, just one of those stats you just haven't put too many points towards. You can use your intelligence to help buff that up and help yourself save that saving throw. After that, you get the adaptable intellectual at level 18, so near kind of your core capstone feat. What that's going to do is you're going to be able to effectively prepare for any mission on hand. Basically, at the end of a long rest, you may choose one of your discoveries, you know, and replace it with a different discovery that you could learn at that level. So it just allows you, so if you have a kind of an idea of what you're going to be going up against, you can really kind of customize your scholar out to be able to meet those challenges. And that finally brings you to the capstone feat for the scholar, the Knowledge Unbound. What this is going to do is raise your increase your intelligence score by 4, as well as increase the maximum of that score by 4, too. So this is going to allow you to surpass that 20 limit on your mods for the skills. So you'll be able to bump that up to 24, giving you a plus, what that be, 7 mod for the your intelligence modifier. So some cool stuff you can do there. Really gives you a good buff with it. Also, it allows you to use any maneuver that you know without using a superiority dice. So you can just straight up use your maneuvers. It will change the dice to a D4, but that's great, though. You can still use those maneuvers without worrying about having to kind of keep track of your superiority dice, just a little bit less efficiency.
Awesome. Very good features there, all over the place. Core features for the scholar. As we said, you know, lots this thing can do. Let's get into these archetypes now. There's how many total we've got? 9 or 10, it looks like. Of course, we've got our 3 core archetypes from the core rules, which we'll touch on a little bit more than the others. The others we touch on maybe the main feature of each one of those. Of course, make sure you go and check those out yourselves to see which one you like best and fits well with the character you're going after. But you know, these are all going to add a lot of great extra features to your build as well. So Tegan, let's get into this, starting at the top with the Physician Pursuit.
Definitely. One of the nice things you'll notice with all of these scholar archetypes is they do something to enhance your critical analysis feature. So with the Physician Pursuit, this is going to be one that's gained kind of more built towards healing and buffing the party. With your critical analysis upgrade, you're going to get the Remote Healer feat, which is going to allow you to expand the range on healing maneuvers up to 30 feet for those targeted by your critical analysis. So a lot of the maneuvers are touch range or within 5 feet for the Physician Pursuit. This is going to allow you to get some range on it, so that way you can heal your tank who's up front while you're probably going to be a little bit closer to the back. So just some cool stuff with that. It's also going to let you gain proficiency with the Biochemist Kit. Makes sense, you're a healer, so you'd want to be able to kind of whip up some different healing supplies. And also it's going to allow you to choose between medicine or nature as an additional skill proficiency. And then you can also add your intelligence to your medicine roll too. So that's going to be great. So depending on, even if you have a little bit of lower wisdom with the scholar, you'll be able to add in your intelligence and kind of buff that out. Or if you want to max out intelligence and wisdom, you're going to have crazy medicine rolls that you'll be able to do. Also, and we touched on this a little bit, the maneuvers are going to be based around healing and stabilizing party members, also giving them a few buffs and things they can do, like temporary hit points and things like that. It's just really going to be kind of make sure your party members are up and healthy and doing a little bit more than they normally would be able to do otherwise.
Yeah, good kind of healer alternative option here for your party. Not necessarily a standard, just pumping HP into each other. So there's different things that it does, but cool in there. So Next up in the core rules archetypes is the Politician Pursuit, as we mentioned, the one that our Patreon NPC will be built off of. A very cool one. It's got some good flavor to it, and then just even in general, some awesome features. So, Tegan, tell us about that.
Yeah, so this one's a fun one. It adds a lot that you can do, and this one's it's gonna be kind of around inspiring and buffing allies. But traditionally, there's some cool things you can do with this, and you'll definitely, if you're a Patreon, check out the new build. There's some fun things they can really do. But this one, the critical analysis upgrade, is going to be the motivating diplomat. Basically, what that's going to be is if you target yourself with the critical analysis, both yourself and allies within 10 feet of you are going to gain a bonus to their AC equal to your intelligence modifier rounded down. So that's going to be great. They're going to be able to enhance both your own AC and your party's, making it a little harder to hit just by kind of giving them a motivating speech as you go into battle. So that's a big one there. You also, at third level, you're going to gain one language of your choice, so you can learn another language. Gotta have it fit your character. You're gonna be a diplomat or a politician, so you know, want to be able to speak a lot of the different languages in the galaxy. And you're also gonna gain a bonus to your choice of either deception, intimidation, performance, or persuasion, equal to your intelligence mod. So if you're a politician, you either want to be really persuasive or deceptive, so you're going to want to get that extra buff there, pick it out. That way, especially if you pick expertise in that feat too, or that skill, you'll be able to add the expertise for your proficiency bonus, your natural modifier, as well as your intelligence modifier. So it's one of those that would be almost near impossible for you to fail, depending on what you pick. So make sure you sync those up well, just to really make sure you're getting the most charismatic or most persuasive or deceptive politician build you can make. And with these, the maneuvers are really going to be based around just kind of bumping up your allies, even some repositioning of your allies, and allowing them to use reactions to move or make attacks and different things like that. So just some cool things you can do, and just really make sure you're getting kind of control of the battlefield and make sure your allies are able to do exactly what they need to be able to do.
Great, great support character option there. Absolutely. As most of these are. Last one for the core rule archetypes is the Tactician Pursuit. And then we'll touch on the expanded content archetypes here. But tell us about that Tactician.
Yeah, so the Tactician, this one's going to be a cool one, especially if you still want to have a little bit of a martial flair for your scholar. This one would be, if you're going off of how to build a character, if you wanted to build Thrawn, take the Tactician Pursuit. There's a lot of things you can do to really kind of get your own little mini Thrawn character. Nice thing with this one is at third level, you're going to gain proficiency in both martial blasters and martial viper weapons. So you're going to have a little bit of a better weapon that you can utilize. Just kind of bump out the damage you can do. Your critical analysis upgrade is going to allow you to boost the range of your critical analysis up to 90 feet. So that's great there. It's going to allow you to stand back a little bit, but still get those benefits from critical analysis. So the maneuvers with this class are going to be based around battlefield control. There's a lot of different things you can do to just kind of turn the tide of the battlefield and just really either distract or disarm the people you're going up against, or enhance an ally to be able to do something critical that needs to be done. So take a look at this one, especially if you still want to have some of those martial weapons and be a scholar. This is going to be the great way to do so without having to multi-class. So definitely a fun one. So check it out if you're looking to build a more martially inclined scholar.
I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that would love to have that Thrawn build, you know, probably a favorite character of many of us, so great option there for that. All right, we've got six other archetypes currently for the Scholar in expanded content, so we're not going to touch on everything as much as we did with the core rules, but we'll touch on the kind of the main feature that each of these offer. There is some good stuff with some of these, so be sure to check them out yourselves. But Tegan, go ahead, run down the whole list. Tell us what's kind of the key feature of each one for these expanded archetypes.
So definitely. So these ones are some interesting ones and some crazy ones too. One of the more crazy, interesting ones is the chef. So this one's kind of based around different dishes and things you can kind of cook up to both buff your allies and debuff your enemies. A little bit wackier, I think, be kind of a fun for like a more of a silly campaign, but definitely a cool one and some cool things you can do with it too. My personal favorite of this, and this is actually what the Scholar plays in my campaign, is the Explorer. Their big thing is they're able to do the surveyed area critical analysis, which changes it from one creature, so one hostile or one enemy, to a 15-foot cube, which is crazy because it allows everybody within that 15-foot cube to, if they're an enemy or ally, gain the benefits of that critical analysis, so kind of what we touched on earlier. But if they're an enemy, anybody targeting that enemy within that 15-foot cube is going to gain their kind of those bonuses too. So great one. Definitely recommend checking that out. The next one is actually one of my personal favorites for the Scholar, is the Gambler. This one's just like a fun one. I don't know if I'd want to do a whole campaign with it. There's a lot of risk and reward. But with the gamble feature, what you can do is the target of your critical analysis, you can roll, I think starting it off is at a D6. And if you roll lower than a 3, the target gains advantage against you, so you kind of lose out in the bet. But if you roll higher than a 3, so 4 or higher, you would be able to gain advantage against that creature. So if you wanted to make your own Lando build, Gambler's the way to go. It's a fun one. High risk, but high reward, too. The Geneticist, this is one of the fun one. This one's allows you to kind of transform yourself. I'm blanking on the guy's name, but it's really kind of similar based off to the KOTOR. I think it's the bounty hunter companion who's able to transform into different beast. This is kind of based off that. You're able to do that and get some different bonuses and enhancements to yourself for using that build. Definitely a cool one. Slicer is kind of a good synergy one, so you can get some tech casting without multi-classing. So if you wanted to be a tech caster but still wanted all those other cool benefits from being a scholar, you can do so with this. And then the final one is a zoologist. So this is the Scholar's Build-A-Bear class, so it allows you to get a pet, enhance it up with certain features you want to kind of represent your build, and then use them for the campaign.
Very cool. Lots of good additional options there. The Explorer, as you mentioned, I want to touch on that one as well myself. That is, I think you said, the player in your campaign that I play in. He's the Explorer Pursuit, and that 15-foot area for the critical analysis is just huge. You know, we're always asking, all right, what does this do again to help either us or against the enemy? But that's definitely a good one to check out. So, but again, all good options there. Make sure you go through all of them and see what they have to offer. Kind of round out our discussion here on the Scholar. A few more things to touch on. Some feats, some suggestions as you build out this character. What you might want to look at with your background, or as you get to like level 4 and beyond, if you're choosing a feat, what things might be good options for that. So Tegan, tell us about some of those things.
Definitely. So the background feats, the big thing you're going to want to do, depending on how you're setting up your stats, pretty much either way, is you're going to want to make sure to pick one that boosts your intelligence. A couple cool ideas I like are the Ace Pilot feat, Keen Mind, and Investigator, as well as Quick-Witted. I'm going to touch on Quick-Witted being my favorite out of those ones. This is going to allow you to use your intelligence versus your dex for your initiative. So this is going to be a good one, especially if you don't want to spend too much time on dex for your abilities. You can still be able to go up near high of the order. That way you're going to have some good features you can do while still increasing your intelligence mod too. So those are some of my favorites for that. But basically, just focus. Any of the ones that boost your intelligence are definitely going to be worth your time to check out. After this, it's a little harder because to kind of pick out some ones that are just great for the class overall. Your archetype is really going to switch where you want to focus on with these. So the big thing you're going to want to take a look at is things that are going to make the best use of your reactions. A couple of my favorites are, my ex-scholar actually uses this too, the Close Quarters Master. That's going to allow you to shoot at anything that comes within 15 feet of you, so you'll use your reaction to do so. So that can allow you to kind of control the battlefield a little bit more and help kind of keep people away from you too. Another great feature to check out is the Snappy Interjection feature. This is a background feature too, so in case you didn't want to prioritize intelligence or already have a way to get up to 20 already, you could take it with the background as well. But basically what this is going to do is allow you to bump your charisma by one, but it also allows you, when one of your allies is making an attack roll or ability check, saving throw, so anytime they're really doing anything, you can spend a reaction to give them advantage on the roll. So another good way you can do so, buff your allies without having to spend your own superiority die, and just really make sure they're kind of getting the best they can out of that situation.
And with the Scholar having, you know, those multiple reactions, that obviously, you know, some good synergy there with that. So, yeah, cool option.
Definitely some fun things there with the feats. The only other thing I would say with multi-classing, just we usually always try to touch on multi-classing with these builds. Scowl is a little bit harder to multi-class because a lot of their synergy, they kind of get more going through their class. A couple that I just kind of thought of that I think would be good, and we touched on this in the multi-classing episode, so these are kind of the traditional ones you can multi-class a level or two in just to get some benefit. Scout's a good one because it's going to allow you to get a little bit of faster initiative, as well as have advantages if you make your if you're able to attack before the other person goes in the turn order. So definitely a good one to check out. The other ones are fighter, two levels of fighter with action surge was always helps. And also if you didn't pick the tactician's background, that's going to give you medium class armor proficiency, as well as martial weapons proficiency. So like get a boost there, and you can do that with one or two levels. And then the other one, I'd say it's operative. Operative is a good one if you just really want to like buff out as many expertise as you can, as well as just really have as many skills and tool proficiencies as you can, because multi-classing in that level one is giving you expertise. It also gives you proficiency in another skill, and tool proficiency. So that just really gives you a good rounded character. You're gonna have three opportunities for expertise and just really should be able to do everything pretty well.
Awesome, yeah. Like you said, I think the Scholar on its own, and it has a lot to offer. So the multi-classing, isn't something that you don't have to do, or you might potentially miss out on things more if you do multi-class just because of everything the Scholar has to offer. But some basic options you mentioned there that are always good to consider. So, but yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up the Scholar class. Everyone out there, we hope that you check this great class out if you haven't yet. Something that I want to check out a build for a game sometime soon here in the future. Tegan, any other final thoughts on the Scholar class yourself?
Yep, these are just the fun ones. I know it can be a little intimidating looking at all the, because they're probably like the heftier class or things to read through. But there's so much fun you can do. There's so many different ways to play it and really affect the party. And they're good for both in combat. Now they've got a lot of features to just really just kind of make them a useful member, whatever they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Just great overall. All right, everyone. I believe that covers everything for the Scholar. If you haven't yet, please do check this class out. Very cool. Thanks again to all of our listeners, all of our subscribers, our followers, our Patreons. Of course, check us out, dungeonjedimasters.com, for all of our current content. And to make sure you get notified for upcoming content. Speaking of our next podcast episode, we will get back to some Starship rules, specifically discussing Starship equipment and modifications, go over those options there. So keep an eye out for that. Other than that, thanks again to everyone, and may the force be with you.
May the force be with you, everyone.